Well, it's good again to come and join together our hearts as we sing to praise God. We're working through the book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John, and we finished chapter 1, and now we're moving into chapter 2, and we're going to look at just two verses today. And I've called the series Back to Basics. John is writing to a church to remind them of the basics of Christianity, because a certain false teacher had arisen amongst them called Cerinthus, who was misleading them about the truth of Jesus. So John reminds them of this great truth. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. As we were looking at chapter 1 over the last few weeks, we've been asking the question, does your walk match your talk? And the last of those messages 2 weeks ago, when I spoke out of that passage, we looked at what we should do if we feel that we're failing in our walk and our talk. And in that message, we saw that what we must do is we must not give up trying. And the second thing we must do is we must talk to God about our problems. Well, in today's text, which is really a continuation of the thought that began in chapter 1, John moves on to the next part of this message that he's wanting to give to the people. In today's text, we're going to discover why we should not give up and why we should tell God about our problems, friends. And the simple reason why we shouldn't give up and why we should tell God our problems is this. We're going to see six reasons why Jesus is God's solution to our sin. Six reasons why Jesus is God's solution to our sin. You see, Cerinthus was kind of saying, it doesn't really matter if you sin, because what we do in our body isn't that important. It's our souls that are important. But John says, no, that's not the case. You see, Cerinthus was trying to deal with sin by trying to kind of avoid it and not think about it. He was saying it wasn't important. But John says that is important. Sin is sin, friends. And we should never lose sight of that reality. People, friends, have been trying to avoid sin in many different ways throughout the centuries. The first one I would call appeasement. They try and pay the gods off. If you see the practice of Hinduism particularly, if you go into homes of Hindus, that you will often find a little shrine in their home with a little god of some sorts in there. And they're forever putting food there, or they're putting incense there, or they're putting money there, because there's this kind of belief that if we give something to gods, the gods, and a small g as far as that is concerned, then they won't be cross with us about our sin. There are some people, friends, who feel that the best way to deal with sin is just run away. Go and live in a monastery. There was a man in the early history of the church who sat on top of a tree for 40 years because he didn't want to be exposed to the possibility of sinning. He built himself a little kind of platform on top of the tree, and there he sat for 40 years so that he wouldn't be tempted in any way. There is denial. Many today, friends, are turning to atheism They're saying we don't believe in God. And the simple reason they say we don't believe in God is, friends, they're trying to avoid feeling guilty about their sin. That really is the main reason. If you don't have a God, then you don't have to be accountable to Him. There are some religions, friends, who say the only way to deal with sin is through heavy punishment. So you will find in Islamic thinking that when you sin, friends, they punish severely. If you look at the thing called Sharia law, if you steal something, they cut your hands off so that you won't do it again. And there are many rules and regulations and punishments for sin that people have thought that they think if the punishment is just hard enough, then people will not want to sin. In recent years, friends, we've had the rise of the superhero. Oh, we call them comics. But actually, they are just man's attempt to avoid kind of dealing with sin. You've got Batman and Superman and Captain Marvel and Captain America and Wonder Woman and all these different people. And they are the ones who are going to come and save the world. That's the world's attempt to try and deal with sin, friends. But the crazy thing about it, friends, is God has already provided a way. God has provided an answer to deal with sin. And that answer, friend, is Jesus Christ. So let's look at these six reasons. Firstly, Jesus Christ is God's solution for sin because His solution is for everyone. John writes, he says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin," you see, every other answer for sin that people have kind of devised is an answer that meets only the group of people that follow that particular practice. If you're not a Muslim, you can't move on, the Muslims will say. If you're not a Hindu, the Hindus say you will not go into Nirvana. If you're not, whatever it may be, friends, the world around us says you've got to practice like we practice, or else you're not going to ever move on into eternity in peace. The wonderful reality, friends, is that Jesus is the answer to sin for anybody. We're reminded that Jesus is willing to help anybody with their sin, regardless of when or how or why or whatever the sin may be. We're reminded, friends, that Christians are not sinless, but Christians should sin less. But if we do sin, friends, we have somebody that is willing to deal with our sin. Somebody is willing to kind of help us. Just like the illustration I had a little bit earlier on. Sometimes, friends, we battle with knowing how to cope with our sin. But God has said, Jesus will help you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your sin is. Jesus, friends, will help anybody who sins. Secondly, Jesus Christ is God's solution to sin because His solution is always available. The passage carries on and it says, "Dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if you do sin, we have an answer." The words "we have" in Hebrew is the word echomen. And the word echomen friends, is in a particular Greek tense. It's one of the problems we have when we're translating Greek into English or into another language. Sometimes we lose the depth of the meaning when we translate a word from Greek into English. This particular word, friends, is in what is known as the present active indicative voice. I'll explain to you what it's all about. It's the present tense. The present tense means that we have right now. Somebody will help us. You see, we're not waiting for the future. We're not waiting for nirvana one day, or as the Muslims would have us, one day to enter into eternity. God is saying, you have it right now. The solution to sin, friends, is something you can have right now. The second part of the tense is that it's active. It's an action which we experience directly when we deal with our sin. You know, one of the great joys of confessing sin is that one thing Jesus does is he lifts the burden immediately from us, doesn't he? What great joy, friends, there is. You know, when we go to Jesus and we confess our sins to Jesus, he isn't going to bring up our sins against us in the future. It's not that Jesus forgets about our sins, friends. The wonderful truth is that Jesus chooses not to hold our sin against us any longer. That's the great message of the gospel. It's an active tense. It is something, friends, we experience immediately. And then it's the indicative tense. And the indicative tense means it's a real, real experience. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's the same tense, friends, that Jesus uses when he says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Now, if you're not a Christian, you can't understand that. But for those of us who are Christians, we will know that when we are at our lowest, we know Jesus is still with us. And so, friends, the same experience we have that Jesus is with us in the midst of our difficulty is the same experience we can have when Jesus deals with our sin. The verse says, we have. It's a present, real, full experience that we can have of knowing that Jesus is God's answer to sin. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is God's solution to sin because his solution never ever fails. The first passage carries and says, if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. The word translated speaks to the Father in our defense is the word that I was telling you a little bit about earlier on. Is the word parakletos. Jesus is our parakletos. In Hebrew thinking, parakletos has three different ways in which it is used. It was used in a military sense. If you were part of the military and you were marching from one town to another town, there weren't trucks to carry the stuff from one town to the other town. The soldiers had to carry their own things. They would put it on their back and they would walk from one town to the next town. But they had people amongst them or around them who were parakletos. When they got tired, They would call the Parakletos, and the Parakletos would come next to them, and they would transfer the burden from their shoulders to the shoulders of the Parakletos, and the Parakletos would carry it for them part of the way until they felt strong again, and then they would take it back again as they were marching from one town to another. Friend, Jesus is there. Jesus never fails, because he is the one who comes alongside us and takes our burden from us. The beauty of it, friends, is that once Jesus has taken our burden, he doesn't give it back to us. He carries it to the cross for us. There's a second way in which the word parakletos was used. It was used of the courts in those days. The parakletos was the one who spoke, it was used in times of prayer. Let me first go that one. If you needed somebody to pray for you, if you needed somebody to support you in prayer, you would call for the parakletos in the church or in the religious organization. And the parakletos would take your prayers and they would pray them on your behalf. They would speak to God on your behalf. And so, friends, Jesus isn't the only the one who takes our burdens, but he takes them to God. But there's a third way in which the word was used in the ancient Greek times. It was used in the courts of law. And this is what John is referring to in this particular passage. It refers to the person who is an advocate. Now, I don't know if you know, but if you go to a court, you can't address the court on your own unless you're presenting your own defense. But if you want to address the court, you appoint an advocate, a parakletos, to speak on your behalf. Because the parakletos, the advocate, knows the law of the land. He knows the rules of the court. And so he's able to take what you are using and speak in it in such a way that the judge is able to hear what the advocate is saying and declare you're innocent or guilty. That's what Jesus does for us, friends. Jesus fulfills every single role of the parakletos. He's the one who carries our burden. He'll never fail to take your burden. Jesus said, "Come to me, you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friends, Jesus is our intercessor. We read from Scripture, he is at the right hand, interceding on our behalf, even at this point in time. And one day, friends, Jesus will be our advocate. One day when we stand before God, and God asks us, "Why should I let you into heaven?" We have no answer. We have no reason to give why God should let us into heaven. But Christ will stand in our place, and we will be in Christ, and Christ will say, "Father, this person has loved and accepted me and asked me to fulfill their responsibility to you." Friends, Jesus is God's answer to sin, because this solution never fails. If you try to pay the own penalty for your sin, friend, you're going to fail. You'll never do enough. It's only when Jesus works for you. Fourthly, Jesus Christ is God's solution to sin because, friends, he never gave in to sin. The verse ends and says, "We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the one who is righteous." The word righteous, friends, means that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. How do we know that? There are many passages of Scripture which remind us of that, let me just read you a couple. First one, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. For we have one who was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet without sin. Friend, Jesus never gave into sin. How do we know that? Because, friends, Jesus is able to speak to God face to face. Sin cannot enter the presence of God. When Satan turned his back on God, God had no option but to kick him out of heaven, because the holiness of God cannot be in the same place as the wickedness of sin. So Jesus alone, friends, Jesus alone can stand before God, because he alone is sinless. Exodus 33 verse 20 says, but he says, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. That was God talking to Moses. Friend, the reality is, only Jesus is able to stand before God. Nobody but Jesus has the ability to stand before God on behalf of anybody else. Not another religious leader, not another religious system. There is no other system, friends, in which the leader of that particular religious belief is perfect in every way. Number five, Jesus Christ is God's solution to sin, friends, because he directly is the solution to sin. Verse 2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Friends, the Bible makes it very clear in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Friends, our sin leads to death. We need something to help us. Somebody has to pay a penalty. We have committed many sins. You may say, well, I'm not so bad, am I? Well, just think of it. Just think of how many times you do a bad thing a day. Just a bad thought. Maybe a little swear word. Just think if you did two or three of those a day. So let's say you did three a day. How many is that per year? That's 1,000 about. If you live for 70 years, how many sins have you committed in your lifetime? Friend, there is no way we can claim that we're innocent. Somebody has to pay the penalty for the sin. In the Old Testament, God devised a way that the penalty for sin was paid for by the blood of goats and bulls and lambs. The problem was, friends, is that the Israelites had to offer those sacrifices every year, because during the year they would accumulate more and more sins until they got to the Day of Atonement. Then they would offer up a lamb in their place and God would forgive their sins. But the next day they would start building up a record of sin again. We need somebody, friends, who will pay for sins, not just on an annual basis, but pay for sins forever. And there is only one who has done that, and that's Jesus Christ. Listen to three verses, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everybody who believes. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first sacrifice. Friends, Jesus has paid the penalty for sin in his own body. He went to the cross not because he needed to pay for his own sin. He was sinless, friend. He went to the cross to pay for your and my sin, friends. Christ is God's solution to sin because Christ alone is the atoning sacrifice. He is the only one. He's pure enough to pay for the penalty for all of our sins. But the wonderful thing, friends, is Jesus Christ is God's solution to sin finally, because his solution is sufficient for all. Friend, Jesus didn't die only for Christians. Look what it says. He is the only atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, many have debated, does that mean everybody's going to go to heaven? If Jesus has died for the sins of the whole world? No, it doesn't mean that, friends. Jesus has died to make it possible for everybody to go to heaven. But some choose to reject him. If you don't want to take God's solution for sin, friends, God's not going to force it upon you. God's much too much of, to use a colloquialism, gentleman to do that. He's not going to force you to become a Christian. If you don't want to accept his solution, well, rest in your own. Rest in your own solution, friends. But friends, the one incredible thing about the solution that Christ offers is that he even cares for those who reject him. Isn't that wonderful? Even the person who's turned their back on Jesus, Jesus still died for them. There were two thieves on the cross beside Jesus. The one accepted him, the one rejected him. And friend, the world is like that. Those who accept God's solution, friends, will know his salvation. Jesus Christ is God's solution for sin because he is the solution. His solution is for everyone. Because his solution is always available. Because his solution never fails. Because he has never given in to sin. Because he is directly is the solution to sin. Because his solution is sufficient for all. There's only one question I want to ask you at the end of this message, friends. Who are you trusting in to ensure that you're going to get into eternity? Who are you trusting in? My friend, from my understanding, from my reading of the scripture, there is only one who is able to save us from our sin. And that is, let me hear. And that is,
Jesus.
Come on. And that is,
Jesus.
Friend, only Jesus can save us from our sin. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for being the solution to sin. Help us to accept that solution. We can turn our back on it, Lord. And many do turn their back on what you offer to them, graciously offer to them. Give them every opportunity to accept what you have done for them. Lord, speak in people's hearts so that they may recognize that you and you alone are the solution to our sin. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.